Hi, this is Millie, and welcome to the Escaping Narcissistic Mothers podcast, where you'll find the validation and love you've been looking for. I can help you navigate the difficult waters of going no contact. Please follow me on Instagram at Escaping Narcissistic Mothers, all one word. Hello, everybody. I hope you're having a good day and a good week and a good month so far. Already in March, it's kind of unbelievable how quickly this year is already going. But I think it's just a matter of, you know, the older you get, the faster time is perceived to go by quickly. I appreciate those of you who have bought me a coffee. You don't know how much, especially right now, since I had no choice but to leave my job. If you don't know what I'm talking about, my previous podcast about grief, I tell the story in as much detail as I could. So if you want to buy me a coffee, that would be greatly appreciated. But if not, you listening to me is good enough for me. Also, if you want to join my Facebook group, please, the link is in the description as well. It is private, so nobody can see the comments outside of the group. So there's no fear there, okay? And I try to be as helpful as I can. If there's conflict, I don't put up with anyone if I suspect someone is being negative or disrespectful or can be one of those people who got into the group because they somehow found out their child is in the group, I sniff them out very easily. And a thank you to my other admin. She's been doing all the work lately because I was working and now I'm looking for work. But I'm trying to put a little more time and effort into this right now because it always has been helpful for me. So this topic has come up and I want to talk about this. So what do we do when mom dies? Okay, so all of us here have narcissistic mothers. And one day she's going to die. That is an inevitable part of life. We are all going to die. In our case, a lot of us are wishing this, right? We want our mothers to die. We would never say it out loud. And I totally understand that. But we all get to a point in our life. And ladies, those of you that are maybe a little bit older, you're in my age group. I'm 49. We're starting to be more like, I don't care what other people think. This is my opinion and you can have yours. But I'm not concerned with your opinion not being in alignment with mine. But we also can coexist with someone who doesn't have the same thoughts or opinions. Saying that we want our mother to die would normally be, you know, oh my goodness, how could you say that? A kind of reaction from people. And honestly, did I ever say that to other people? No. My husband caught on to my mother way before I did. So with him, it wasn't an issue. My daughter knows the truth. She knows. But that is something that we have to work through, right? How we feel. And let me tell you something. What we think we're going to feel and the reality of what actually is going to happen or how we're really going to feel are two different things. I had a plan in place because, you know, this is one of the questions. Do I go to the funeral? I had it in my head. I knew it was going to happen. Like, I wasn't going to go to the funeral because it was going to be filled with all of the flying monkeys in my life if I went to a funeral. They all hated me because I had gone no contact with my mother. They had no You know, they were either narcissists themselves, because that's my mother's side of the family. That's where it all comes from, right? My aunt, that's still alive, that's here in the United States. I have an aunt in Cuba who is an angel, but I think they're using her to try to get to me somehow. That's a whole other story. My aunt here, her son, and I'm not going to say, my aunt and her son are definitely narcissists. Like, there's no way they're not. They are 100% narcissists. But, you know, it trickles down. People believe older people. People, you know, and because of my mother's image to the outside world, which a lot of you know what I'm talking about, right? They put out this image of being perfect, of, you know, you're the most important thing in their life to the outside world. But then behind closed doors, if you were to disappear, would they even notice, kind of thing? Now, I know all of us have different experiences, and maybe yours wasn't so much being neglected, but it was more like physical overt abuse, you know? And most of us got a combination of both. My mother did abuse me behind closed doors, and it wasn't just neglectful, right? There was a lot behind closed doors, but my mother's was covert, like getting into my head about things, and, you know, to the point where I'm just starting now to come out of the fog and realizing that I'm still, you know, she's still in my head. 4 years, you know, 2 years after she died, 4 years, I was no contact. 2 years after she died, 2.5 years, and I still, it's her voice in my head that kept me not seeing the truth about a person at my job. That's another story that I can't get into. Maybe one day I will, but I can't get into right now. Anyway, so this was my plan. I wasn't going to go to the funeral, right? Because I wasn't going to surround myself with people that were all flying monkeys and hated me. Why would I do that to myself? So I had decided I wasn't going to go. And it turned out that I worried for nothing, because there was no funeral. There was no service. It was during COVID. And my father chose to cremate her body, and that was it. I think the remains are in his house somewhere, and he has some fakety-fake. It's the only way I see it, that my dad has this fakety-fake shrine to her. The reason I say that is because I don't believe for a second that my father grieved my mom the way that he was showing. And there may be reasons for that, but I don't want to get into my personal story on this one or what I believe. And I've probably said in the past anyway. But what happens after they die, at least this is what happened to me. But I'm starting to see, of course, it's natural. Everyone is different. Everyone's at a different stage in their healing. And we all react to things differently. We can make plans 100 times over. And then when the moment comes and you're faced with it for real, we just see it differently. We feel it differently. So I wasn't going to go to the funeral, right? All right, so my mom dies and I hear the news and I broke down crying. But I think the crying was more shock than it was tears of sadness or of grief. I didn't feel the way I thought I was going to feel in any way, in any direction, right? I didn't feel sad enough, but I also didn't feel that relief immediately, right? It took me just a little time because the feelings were very confusing to me. But again, this doesn't take away from the fact that I understand that some of you may be in a position where if your mom died right now, you would be in horrible grief. You would be very sad. You would be, you know, in a terrible place. While some of you, your mom would die and you wouldn't even care, or if you don't live near her, you wouldn't even go, you know? And none of it is wrong. That's where I'm going with this. We all have different paths. And how we react to things is also a personal thing. Some of us are going to therapy to try to work out the issues with our mothers. Some of us are not. Some of us are trying to deal with it with self-help, joining groups, listening to podcasts, right? So we're all in different places. But the one thing I can assure you of is you're probably not going to react exactly as you think. And you're not going to have the feelings that you think you're going to have. Like I said, for me, it took a few months for me to get out of the confusion of the feelings, right? Just like right now, I there's a lot of comparisons and parallels that I'm seeing with, because losing a job, right? I quit, but I didn't quit because I wanted to quit. I quit because I had no choice. So it feels like I lost it, right? I lost the job. If something had not happened, I would still have the job. And that's, you know, it's a grieving thing. It's you know, and you never know how it's going to feel and how long it's going to take you to get over it, right? So, obviously, a job and a person are two different things. But in our case, hey, it's this person whose intention in life was to hurt you, right? Since I've been a little bit more involved, I'm starting to go back and remember the things that my mom did to me. Someone pointed this out in my group that being how the mom would befriend people her age. So people in an inappropriate age group for the mom to be friends with. My mom did that to me constantly growing up, you know, especially when I was like a young adult, when I was in my 20s, she started to befriend. Well, first of all, the woman who was my maid of honor at my first wedding became very close friends with my mother, and to the point where my friend stopped talking to me. I had no idea what I had done because it had nothing to do with me. To this day, I don't know what it is, but I do know it had to do with my mother because she did say that much, that it's something my mother did. But the fact of the matter is I am not my mother, and people couldn't separate us. And they, I don't know if that's something I can ever shake, you know. I'm going to tell you something that's kind of funny and also kind of really sad. So I decided I was going to, my hair is completely gray under my hair color, right? And I decided I didn't want to color it anymore. I've been having issues with my hair and I'm not going to color it anymore. And I went through that process. I bleached it and then I was letting the gray grow out. And I was starting to look in the mirror and I was starting to see my mother in the mirror and it was freaking me out. And then, of course, someone actually confirmed it by saying, oh my God, you look so much like your mom. And I was like, that's it. And I colored my hair red, auburn, the same color I used to have before, just to help to not look like her so much. I was always told that I look like my dad, but for some reason, I do see what other people see. I see it. I mean, I am her daughter, and I don't want to look like her. Anyway, so I've been coloring my hair again because I don't want to look like her. So my mother dies and I go through this brief period of mourning, but it wasn't really mourning. It was just, you know, it was almost like I was in disbelief. I think that's the best way to describe it. I was in disbelief of what had actually happened, that she was actually gone. That I thought, I mean, honestly, I thought my mom was going to live forever. She only made it to 81. Not even, she almost made it to 81. Her birthday was a week and a half after her death. I thought she was going to live forever. I was like, do you know how it is? These toxic mothers, they live to be in their 90s. My aunt's in her 90s, right? So I just assumed, and, you know, surprise, she died, right? And it just took me a while to go from that, you know, that little bit of feeling bad from time to time. Either someone would bring it up, although not one person on my mother's side of the family contacted me. It was zero contact. I had done a fantastic job at doing that for myself. But when my mother was having her mental issues, I have to do a podcast about that again. But my mother had, a lot of your mothers may have dementia, but what people don't know is that narcissism can cause a delusional state in people who have narcissistic personality disorder. If you have never seen Sam Vankin, V-A-N-K-I-N, I suggest you watch him. Now be prepared. He is very boring. He is a self-proclaimed narcissist, but he is very smart. And he has videos on depression, suicide, and so on with narcissists, because as they age, the aging narcissist is getting less and less of that narcissistic supply from people. And since that is their fuel for life, they can get depressed and they can even go into this state of delusion and they can even hallucinate. But according to Sam Vankin, it is like everything else under their control. Okay? It happens to them because they are being delusional about the situation that's going on. But I don't want to go too much into that. So they die, we have a reaction, whatever it is. Yours might be, oh, thank goodness, I'm done, it's over, right? Just so you know, with narcissists, I guarantee it's not over, especially if there's a will involved and your mom's will is tied to another person, they're married, like in my case. I'm still waiting for that bomb to drop, but again, I have a plan for it. When my father dies, I am going to, like, be a two-year-old, stick my fingers in my ears, and start singing. Because I don't even want to know about the will, honestly. Because I know that she was using that as a tool to make me upset, to maybe hoover me, right? Oh, she's going to want something from the will. I have more integrity than that. So when the time comes for it all to come out, like what's actually in the will, I don't care. You know, again, I mean, I'm kind of in a similar situation with the work thing, but I'm going to leave it at that. So it took me a while to step out of like thinking about her death constantly. I think that's what the problem was I'd wake up and be like, oh my God, she's really dead. Because I hadn't seen her in years, right? I saw her 2 years before when they showed up at my house without being invited and because she was having whatever episode. And my dad wanted me to take over and I wasn't going to do that. I had no reason to. My mother's illness was not my problem anymore because I was done. She had damaged me enough and I wasn't going to let that continue. So it was just waking up and it wasn't like there was a loss in my life. There was no loss. I didn't see her. It was just a thought, oh my God, she's dead. You know, that I kept thinking, oh my God, she's dead. And it became, oh my God, I'm glad she's dead. And I even joked 2 days later, I was with my husband, and I was like, I used to say she had tickets straight down to heaven when she died. Oh my God, I can't believe it. She died. And straight down to heaven, straight down to hell, right? And I would even like wave at her, you know, wave to the floor. I still do that from time to time because she denied me years ago. I wanted to buy a house and we had the money, but not the credit. That's my life in a nutshell, one thing and not the other. And she said no because of their credit could be ruined. She was in her 70s. And I was like, okay. So now my joke is always, well, I hope that the devil takes credit. And I hope that, you know, that's the reason. But it took me a long time. It took me a long time to get out of thinking about it. And I think that's the hard part, right? Not thinking about my mother died. And maybe even not feeling the guilt that maybe you don't feel as bad as you thought you would. Or whatever feeling you have. Fill in the blank. It doesn't really matter. You can have any feeling in the world and it's okay. That is something that in this society we are not taught and we are not encouraged to have our feelings and that our feelings are okay. And nothing that we feel or say should be judged. Right? If I say, I'm glad she's dead, even though it sounds bad, it may sound bad, like I'm a horrible person because I wish she was dead and I was happy she was dead. Yeah, you don't know my situation. You know, there's the internet in and of itself. And look at me, I'm on a podcast, on Instagram, and I have a private Facebook group all on the internet. It's been a platform for me who has been, and it's been great, but it's also given voices to people who don't know anything about the subject matter and they can chime in, right? And that's not okay. If you don't know about it and you're not in the situation, please keep your mouth shut. And I know I'm talking to you guys and it doesn't matter because you don't do that probably, but a lot of people do. They think that they can just have an opinion on something. The bottom line is, sure, you can have an opinion, but make sure you have some data to back it up, some information on what narcissism is. And feeling relieved that a parent is dead, that was abusive to you, that all they did is do the smear campaign, turn the family against you, talk bad about you, you're a horrible kid, they hurt you by making friends with people your age. They prefer to be with other people your age. That was all meant to hurt you. And you're supposed to feel bad that they're dead? Oh my God. No, you're not. And in all of this, of course, my mom's been gone 2.5 years. You know, I'm good with it. I barely think about her, thankfully. And whomever may be suffering right now, you'll see that with time, you'll look back and go, oh, yeah. There's a lot of feelings, even if you don't want there to be. And even if you think you are healed, there's no such thing as healed, by the way. You are healing. You will continue to be healing forever. You're going to be in a much better place, but you will continue to be healing. Trust me. That it's okay to feel however you feel. If you feel happy, that's great. If you feel sad, I'm sorry you feel sad, but you will feel better. If you feel relieved, that's okay. People who have been caregivers to people who've been very ill, who love them, feel relieved when their loved one dies because they've been caring for them and have been mourning them all along. So it's not abnormal to have that sense of relief, even for people who love that person. Okay? Do you think, I believe my father was completely 100% relieved that my mother died. I just want to give you that permission to feel your feelings. That's it. Just feel your feelings. Feel them. We've grown up in an, especially if you're Generation X, oh my God, we're not allowed to feel our feelings. We were told, there's no such, you want me to cure your depression and probably hit you, right? To get you out of being anxious or depressed. My mom used to scream at me, which never worked, of course. And no one even knew what anxiety was or had never heard that term when I was younger. Not that I hadn't heard it, but I heard it in a casual way, you know, like, oh, I'm anxious about a test. Not, you know, actual anxiety and panic disorder, like what I suffer from. You know, that's how they treated us, right? They call us the feral generation. We're tough, but we shouldn't have to be. And the thing is that you should be in a place where you're learning that your feelings are valid. You can feel your feelings. If someone says something and you take it personally, you're allowed to. That person may have not meant what you think they mean. And you should really, especially if you're in a vulnerable state, you should take the opinion of another person and say, maybe they're right, and cool off, you know? And that is okay. Again, you are allowed to feel your feelings. I'm not going to judge you for your feelings, 100%. Right? And I'm not going to, like, defend someone or, you know, your feelings are your feelings. Own them. This is how I'm feeling. This is how, this is my situation right now. And that is okay. So however you feel, right? So I'm giving you that permission, not just about your parents' death, but anything that's happening, right? Anything. Because with being in that cycle, even if the parent, if you're no contact, you're still going to have feelings about it, right? I give you that permission to feel it. Join my group so that you can talk about that time when you feel that anger, that desperation, that sadness. You can go on there and say, hey, this is how I'm feeling. And you're going to see the fantastic people in that group are going to answer you. And they're going to say, I know how you're feeling. I'm here for you. Because that is what they say. And not only that, but they have some incredible insights. I've learned a lot from them. I'll tell you that much. And I love being a part of that group. And I, you know, I understand that. I understand that we can all be very vulnerable. And, you know, when I first figured out that my mother was a narcissist, everybody was a narcissist that I knew. And that's not really the case. That was me projecting my feelings onto everybody else, right? Are there people that are toxic or they might have a narcissistic trait? We all, and I will say this over and over again, we all have narcissistic traits. Because if we didn't, we wouldn't be living in our bodies and looking out of our eyeballs. We are the center of our story and therefore we have narcissistic traits. Now, they don't have to be toxic traits, but being that we were raised by a narcissist, we're going to have some toxic traits. But the difference is that we recognize it. So are you a narcissist? Absolutely not. Do we have traits we have to be aware of? Absolutely we do, right? We absolutely do. I have done things that I have apologized for with my daughter. And I even look at the fights I have with my husband and think, is this really what it is? Is this a narcissistic trait? Because I don't know sometimes. Still, I have to look inward. And that is the reason I know I'm not a narcissist, is because I do have that thought. Am I being narcissistic right now? Is this in my best interest and I don't care about his at all? Now, when people fight, I think the rules of narcissism should go out the window when it's a couple fighting, because both of you are going to act like narcissists during a fight because everybody's defending themselves, turning things around on the other person. I think it's just part of fighting. I'm not saying that every fight, there's different ways of doing this, right? Like, my husband crossed the line in a fight we had recently. I don't even remember what he said, but he said something that was like, oh, like, it really hurt me. And he knew he said it. The minute, you know, it's one of those things you say in anger and you're like, oh, I messed up. Damn it. And right then and there, I told him, get out of my face, go in the other room, don't even talk to me. He crossed the line he knew was going to push that button, and it worked. Let me tell you, it worked. And it took a long time for me to talk to him again because I couldn't, I didn't even want to see him. And I have a great relationship with him. This is what I consider a great, and I do. This is not that I'm making this up. But feel your feelings, please. Don't try to squash them. I learned this from Chris Godinez, which I've plugged her on here many times. KRISGODINEZ. She has a YouTube channel. You want to learn about narcissists? Go to her YouTube channel. Okay? She talks about all the different traits, the different things that they do to you. Her father was a toxic person. Her mother had traits. And that's her practice is about narcissism. She's in Arizona. So if you're in Arizona, I would say try to contact her for an appointment. Anyhow. I don't know where I was going with this, but something Chris probably said and I forgot right now. I guess I was meant to forget. It is late. It is past midnight and I'm tired. But just talking about narcissistic traits, and if you want to go into depth, there she talks about different things, and she doesn't go specifically, this is a narcissistic trait. She goes into like the more general things that they do, the kind of stuff that happens every day, right? And which I love. I learned so much from her. But feel your feelings. Oh, I remember. If you are feeling sad or anxious or angry, right? And by the way, anger is not a real feeling. It's covering up other feelings, okay? So if you're angry about something, remember GIFT. G-I-F-T. G is for guilt. I is for inferiority. F is for fear. And T is for trauma. So if you're feeling anger, it's one of those things. And trust me, it works, because every time I'm really angry, I go back to that acronym and I absolutely can pick out which one it is, right? A lot of times it's trauma. Of course it is. But sometimes it isn't. There was one situation where it was inferiority and I knew it. I was with my talking to my therapist and she asked me which one I thought it was. She knew what it was, right? She had figured it out. And I said, I think it's inferiority. And she goes, yeah, that's the one for you, I think, in this situation. So just keep that in mind. But feel your feelings. You know, anger is good. I feel like anger is a very good self-preservation mechanism, believe it or not. When we go through the anger phase of any situation, the anger is what keeps you from, it protects you. That's why it's not a real feeling. It's covering up that vulnerable feeling. But what it does is it puts like this layer of strength on top of that vulnerable feeling. And that's from personal experience. When I've been angry, right? When my mother died, I did not go through the Kubler-Ross stages of grief. I just didn't. You know, I went through a little bit of sadness, a little bit of shock, and then it was like, ding dong, the witch is dead. You know, the wicked witch, the witch is dead. That's literally what happened. I sang that song, you know. For a few days, I went back and forth between sadness and happiness, and then it just kind of faded into nothing. I didn't have to adjust to anything. She wasn't in my life, right? I'll talk about the no contact adjustment stuff, but In my case, I didn't have to adjust anything because she was gone. And she had been gone from my life for 4 years. So it was more like, well, I was going back to my normal life. And my life improved a lot after that. I had to get past all of that stuff and realize that that trauma is not going to affect me, my life forever. And I had to get through it, and I did. And this job, even though it didn't turn out well, taught me that I am capable, and that it's given me a confidence that I've never felt before. And I'm telling you, it's because I did EMDR therapy and just seeing life a little bit differently. I'm not going to take a job for less money than I'm worth. Right? If you like me, you'll give me the money. And if you don't find me worthy enough, then I don't want to work for you anyway. I know that I have that in me. And I hope that you do too. But the bottom line here is, feel what you're feeling. Take that anger, if you're feeling angry, let it fuel, not forever. And I'm not talking about rage. I'm just talking about anger, right? Rage is different. Rage is an explosive feeling that if you do something about it, you feel better. I have a funny story of running into my cousin a couple of years ago, just months after my mother died. And I laugh now. I didn't laugh at that moment. But my cousin was interfering, right? He was coming. He doesn't live in this town. He lives 2.5 hours away. And he was coming and spending time in my dad's house. And I thought that it was his fault that my dad didn't want to talk to me. But in reality, it's my dad who doesn't want to talk to me. And I, as much as I know that my cousin is toxic, I don't blame him for that. See? Things change, and it's just a matter of time and experience to see, oh, wait, that wasn't his fault, you know? I bet you my cousin doesn't come to visit that often anymore, because that's what I always thought. Anyway, he's very selfish, so if it's not convenient for him, he's not going to do it. So my cousin, I had gone with my daughter to see my father, who didn't open the door or wasn't home. I still don't know what happened there, but when we were leaving, we run into him. He's turning the corner onto my dad's street, and I saw it was him, and I hadn't seen him in years. Right at this point, I hadn't talked to my mother in 4 years, plus years I had already, because he was the first person that I cut contact with. That I told my mom, when he comes, don't make me go see him, because I'm not going to go. That was my first no contact, this is my boundary, right? He was the first person I did it with. And I hadn't seen him in a long time, and he'd gotten really old, doesn't matter. But I saw him, and the surprise. So I stuck my two middle fingers, the window of my car didn't roll down. I have a new car now, 3 weeks before I had to leave my job, yeah. That's my situation. I'm going to be okay. I'll find another job. So I stuck my two middle fingers, gave him two birds, and told him, F you, mother effer, at the top of my lungs. And he got so confused that he pulled over his car, like feet away from my father's house. He couldn't even make it to my dad's house. He just pulled over. And I remember looking in the rearview mirror going, what does he think he's going to do? What, fight me? He wasn't. He had no idea what had happened. Because that's not who he knew. For me, he never seen me do that. He never seen me say a bad word or, you know. But he believed in my mom's lies about me, but he'd never seen it himself. He'd never seen me do anything. Now, she said a lot of lies. She called me abusive towards her, you know, that kind of thing, of course. But he'd never seen it. He'd never seen me get upset. And that wasn't abusive. That was just me lashing out. It was misplaced anger. But I needed that anger. I needed to explode to calm down. And then to see things clearly. So anger can be, you know, a lower level of anger can keep you from, can keep you protected. A higher level of anger, an explosive anger, can be helpful, but it can be harmful. That's something you have to decide. Anyway, I've talked a long time. I love you guys very much. I hope this was helpful. I hope that you put a little bit of thought, but don't think too hard, because the bottom line is you have no idea what you're going to do or how you're going to feel, how you're going to react, and that is okay not to know. To say, I will think about that when it happens. I know that I will handle it correctly when it happens. Don't plan it. Because it's just, you're going to waste time on an issue that you don't know how it's going to go. I thought I had to turn down a funeral, and that funeral never happened. No service, no nothing. And, you know, there's always that little voice in my head going, well, maybe they hid it from you. Where? Unless they did something in Miami, which is possible. Right? That's where, big deal, right? I just said, I don't live in Miami, but my family does. You guys know I live in Florida. Did they do a service in Miami? I suppose they could have, but my daughter wasn't involved. You know, and I would have thought that my father would have invited my daughter, but I mean, I don't know. And you know, sometimes that's okay. You don't have to know everything. Sometimes not knowing is the best thing. Ignorance is bliss, is right on. All right, guys, I love you very much. I hope you got something out of this. And until next time.